now. It will probably go to the boneyard when we get to Earth, be used for spare parts. After we jumped away from Pentavar and the frigate latched onto one of the Star Carrier's hardpoints, Skippy scrambled the jump drive. I mean, he erased the modified navigation computer, then fractured all of the jump drive coil crystals. The powderized crystal was then dumped into a recycler and melted, so no evidence remained of how that special drive had operated. Only three people aboard the ship knew we had jumped through micro-wormholes: me, Skippy, and Chen. Only Skippy and I knew how a time-delayed jump works, and my understanding of the subject was at the press-a-button-and-the-light-turns-on level. With the jump drive rendered into its component atoms, no one could ever reverse-engineer our secret. The extreme measures were vital for security. They also basically ended Surprise's career as a starship, which didn't feel right to me. I do feel bad about ruining the toy I borrowed from Tradev. You should feel bad about it, Joe, Skippy appeared, wagging a finger at me. You are the reason we can't have nice things. You weren't invited into the conversation, Skippy. I swiped a hand through his hologram. Go away, please. Hmph! He sniffed, but he went away.
Seriously, sir, Chen continued. With your permission, I would like to reduce staffing to a skeleton crew. Move us over to the Rio Grande. There is no reason people have to live aboard this bucket.
You're right. Permission granted. I took a sip of coffee. Moved the Star Carrier also. I needed some time to read all this. I tapped the tablet screen, without any distractions.
Did you find anything interesting? She asked. If I'm clear to hear it, I don't want to intrude on...
I'd like to get your perspective. The hegemony clearly thought Moonraider was an Elder AI, and Moonraider fed that delusion. The Maxolks were basing their intel on our assumptions.
They never ran their own analysis?
No. I shook my head. That makes sense. They consider humans to be the only experts on the subject of Elder AIs. They had no basis for questioning our assumption. Also, the Outsider was clever. It had done its homework. In its messages to the hegemony, it consistently referred to Skippy as the Abomination, exactly as a loyal Elder AI would do.
Do you know what it promised the kiddies in exchange for a supply of high-grade radonium?
Nothing. To clarify, I added, it promised nothing to the Maxolks, nothing directly. It wasn't going to share the Sentinel it woke up. It wasn't going to wake up more Sentinels and loan one to the hegemony. The Maxolks agreed to the deal because Moonraider did state that it intended to smite their mutual enemy, us. We are the target, were the target, if it activated and took control of a Sentinel.
Did it give any hints how it intended to?
One side of her mouth twitched.
Smite us?
No, damn it. The Maxolks were happy enough with the prospect of a righteous smiting that they didn't insist on details. My guess is the Outsider would use its Sentinel against Bubba, or Pup-Tart. My money is on Bubba. If Bubba was even damaged, we would have been forced to move Pup-Tart from Jaguar to Earth, and then we couldn't use a spare Sentinel to go hunting for the Outsider. We would be playing defense, and it could wait for the next opportunity to wake up a batch of Sentinels. Then it would be game over.
That's interesting, sir.
What?
The Outsider sees us as its primary obstacle to whatever its ultimate objective is.
Not us. Skippy.
You and Skippy.
Thanks, but you're giving me too much credit.
You are giving Skippy too much credit,
she said with a glance toward the ceiling, expecting a protest from the beer can. Let's just agree that Skippy and the pirates make a great team.
I am happy to serve, sir.
She patted the merry band of pirate's patch she wore on her uniform during her temporary assignment with Task Force Black.
What is the Outsider's ultimate objective?
I couldn't find a single clue about that. I tapped the list of messages on the tablet. The kiddies did ask. Moonraider never gave an answer. I have to assume that eliminating Skippy or isolating him is just an intermediate step.
Taking control of a Sentinel was just part of shaping the battle space?
Our Navy friends, I snorted, would call that clearing the decks for action. Chen laughed. She was Air Force, I was Army, yet we both served aboard UN Navy ships. Sometimes that bothered me when I didn't have some massive problem occupying my mind. Her expression turned serious.
Was this op worth the cost, sir?
We hadn't lost any people. No one even got a minor injury unless you count the nausea induced by the time-delayed jump. She meant that in the archive, 11 Max-Olks had perished either from our PDS cannons or Sanjay's nuke. Those 11 dead were not collateral damage. We had intended to kill them to eliminate any witnesses.
I don't know yet, I admitted. We at least know the Outsider didn't trust its allies enough to reveal its plans. And we know that whatever it is going to do, it needs to take out our Sentinels and Skippy first.
Without a Sentinel, it can't do that.
She phrased it as a statement, but it was a question. It can't proceed with its original plan. So now we need to ask, what is its plan B?
Hey, Joe!
Skippy appeared as I was getting dressed for dinner. Rio Grande's captain was hosting a celebratory dinner for the senior officers of all ships in the task force. That included Chen, her XO, and of course me. Usually I dreaded such encounters when I couldn't reveal the full truth about a recent operation, and everyone around the table awkwardly avoided asking certain questions. Chen assured me that standing orders aboard the Star Carrier were talking about work was not allowed during dinners.
Hi, Skippy. Does my tie look okay to you?
It looks ridiculous to me. Why do military officers wear neckties? Lawyers and accountants have to wear suits and ties. You're supposed to be a soldier.
What else would I wear for a formal occasion?
I don't know, Hey, a bandolier of rifle ammo would be nice.
That says combat rather than formal dinner.
You could polish the rounds so they shine, dum-dum.
That's great if I'm cosplaying as a bandito.
Oh, did I just hear you asking me to design a new uniform for you?
You did not hear that because you will never hear me say that.
Would it kill you to have a little culture in your life?
It probably wouldn't kill me, but why take the chance?
Why do I bother talking to you?
Because you have literally nothing else to do right now?
True dat, he sighed. Anywho, since I have nothing else to do right now, I... Damn, this crew is dull.
They just aren't used to working with you, Skippy.
That's not the problem. For years I flew around in a single tin can with at most a couple hundred monkeys.
Valkyrie is not a tin can, you ass.
You know what I mean. Now I can chit-chat with the crew of Surprise and a Star Carrier and three battleships and a battlecruiser, but they are all dicks, Joe, and that includes the women. Whenever I want to talk, it's always, oh, I'm too busy, or it is 2 in the morning and I have to sleep. They always have some lame excuse.
Except for Frey's Star Team and Chen, none of the people in this task force have been with the Merry Band of Pirates. Did you consider they just might all be intimidated by you?
Wow, really?
You are kind of awesome, you know.
Well, that is a very good point, he mused. But lowly meat sacks should be thrilled to have an opportunity to speak with me.
Oh, they're afraid of accidentally insulting you, I lied. Give them time to adjust. They're not used to having such a legendary being with them.
We don't have time. We're going straight back to Earth. I am bored now, Joe.
Talk to me then. Dinner wasn't for another hour. I had time to indulge his need to talk.
You have nothing to do, so... What?
Oh, I was reviewing the archive data, doing a deep dive. Most of the so-called secret information is technical stuff that only reminds me how much of their technology the kitties stole from the spiders, or from their own clients. For example, the Theranin actually were the first to make atomic compression devices a practical weapon. The kitties had fumbled around with the concept for millennia and done nothing with it. Of course, the fragile ego of the kitties requires them to conceal the truth even from themselves. They all pretend any major technical advance was their accomplishment.
Uh-huh.
So did you find anything interesting?
A lot of the secrets in the archive would be major political scandals, except they happened a long time ago, and I don't care about any of the recent crap.
Did you find anything that would be interesting to me?
I am getting to that. Don't rush me. Unless you want me to be extra bored and wake you up at Zero Dark Stupid to discuss exciting recent discoveries in child development that you certainly should know about.
Margaret and I know everything we need to about raising our children.
Do you think that, but these recent discoveries, are they just shit you made up?
Made up based on science?
By ignoring my valuable advice, you are being a horribly neglectful parent. How about you collect your undoubtedly insightful advice in the form of a picture book, and I'll look at it. Will you look at it? That depends on how cool the pictures are. I can't even. Did you find anything in the archive that I might care about? Yes. And maybe now I don't feel like talking with you. Okay, well, if you don't want to talk now, I have to finish getting ready, so I said maybe I don't feel like talking. Listen, Numbskull, I did find interesting and important information, like the Maxalts were not cooperating with the Outsider until after the raid on Moonbase Zulu. They had no contact with or advanced knowledge of the attempt to steal the Dogzilla Sentinel. I mean, they were thrilled that you failed to activate that Sentinel, but they didn't... Excuse me, I failed? I was an observer. You were there, and once again, bad shit happened. That can't be a coincidence. Whatever. If the Rotten Kitties weren't involved, why did we detect one of their ships sniffing around the area? About 4 months before the Dogzilla incident, the Hegemony lost a last force. A group of ships jumped into a Bosphorak star system to collect their annual tribute in the form of highly purified rare elements. The two transport ships arrived at the intended destination. The escort warships did not. The star carrier investigated. No trace of the warships was ever found. Joe, the ships that disappeared? Those same ships crashed into your moon, and one of them is the ship we tracked to the edge of the galaxy. The Outsider took over those ships, killed their crews, and flew the ships remotely? That's the most likely scenario. So the Maxalts made a deal with the Outsider after they understood it had stolen one of their task forces. They had to recognize the ships that crashed into our moon. They did intercept the fleet-wide message from DEFCOM that requested all UN ships to report any prior sensor contact with those ships. So, yes, the Kitties did know the Outsider, or as it was known at the time, Moon Raider, was responsible for the loss of that task force. And they cut a deal anyway. Come on, Joe. Like the Hegemony cares about a single task force. They knew from UNDIC's awful communications security that we detected an Elder starship during the moon raid, and that we suspected our opponent was an Elder Master Control AI. All they cared about was they finally had the prospect of an entity active in the galaxy that could cause trouble for me. Of course, they did everything they could to help our opponent. What about now? They certainly know now that we're fighting an ancient threat from beyond this galaxy. They do not necessarily know that. They might assume we're lying about the Outsider. You're kidding. In fact, the Hegemony has instructed everyone involved in strategic analysis to assume that we are always lying, and especially that anything Admiral Scorandum does is a scam. I hate to say it, but I think his usefulness to us is over. The Kitties have been burned too many times by that sketchy beetle. Some of the crap he did, the Maxalts still don't even know they got played. He screwed with the spiders also, remember? He got the spiders to destroy that fake AI we called Sam Francisco when they used that grav pulse weapon against the station orbiting a neutron star. I had to pause to laugh for a while. Damn, how much time and money have the Kitties wasted trying to recover the fake AI from the core of that star? Skippy chuckled. It's keeping them busy, and a busy Kitty is a Kitty who is not causing trouble for us. Someday I would like to reveal the truth about that incident, just to see the look on the faces of the Kitties and spiders. Not anytime soon, please. We need the spiders working with us to deal with the Outsider. What? As far as the Kitties know, Scorandum played it straight with them when he gave them the Sam AI. He hasn't always screwed with them. Yes, but the Maxalts have since come to suspect that Sam Francisco was never going to cooperate with them, and that is why Scorandum made the deal. He got what he wanted, and he knew they would get nothing. I would certainly be salty about that. It's just business. When you're buying something sketchy, you have to carefully inspect the goods. Anyway, I'm afraid that we can't rely on Scorandum pulling another scam on the Kitties for us. Yeah, you're probably right, I agreed. We've drawn from that well one too many times. Okay, this is good info. The first evidence of Outsider activity is from 4 months before Dogzilla. There were no other mysterious incidents before that? Seriously? This is a big galaxy, Knucklehead. There are mysterious incidents every freaking day. Right, but anything that you can connect to the Outsider? An Elder Starship accompanied by a group of Maxalt's warships raided your moon base, and none of us connected that to an entity from outside the galaxy. And before that, you worked with Chang to make a list of suspects for the Dogzilla incident, and you never considered an outsider might be responsible. I'm still kicking myself for missing that one. Uh-huh. Yet somehow you expect me to identify which mystery incidents might be the action of the outsider? I'm asking, based on what you know about our asshole opponent, can you review the data to see if there is, I don't know, some distinctive outsider signature in the sensor data from those incidents? Something like that. Okay, Joe, say that again, but slowly. Listen, Dum-Dum, let me smack some knowledge on you. Incidents are flagged as mysterious because there is no sensor data to explain them. I have nothing to work with. He threw his hands in the air. Ships go missing. Newly colonized worlds are later found abandoned. Wormholes fail to operate on schedule. Okay, that last category is probably caused by me. My point is, if there is enough data available to provide an explanation, there is no mystery. Duh! First, the fact that a bunch of ignorant meat sacks think they can explain an incident does not mean they are correct about it. Well, I suppose that is a very good point. Second, I'm not asking you to review all the sensor data that was collected about mysterious incidents. Oh, good, because that would be so tedious. I'm asking you to review all the sensor data that is available covering the past 6 months. Dude! He shuddered in horror. You can't possibly ask me to do that. I can, and I am. Most ships store their flight recorder data for a year or more, right? That includes all the sensor data they collected? Ugh, I hate my life. I don't have access to the flight recorders of every ship in the freaking galaxy. I'm only suggesting you hack into the top-tier clients like the Jirapha, Theranin, Bosphorok, and their peers. Ah, we can just request a download from the Beatles, so that will make it easier for you. Easier? Can you do it? Skippy, I know you only recently got your mojo back, so I will understand if this job is too difficult for... Too difficult? No way. Not for Skippy the Magnificent. The issue is I don't want to do it. This is gonna suck. It is. When you're stuck with the suck, you embrace it. I pretended to wrap my arms around an imaginary object, rocking it like a baby. Embrace it, nurture it, make it part of you. Learn it. Know it. Live it. Ah! Admiral Clestine wanted to summon the Hegemony's chief archivist to his office, both since he was pressed for time and because he vastly outranked her in the bureaucracy. The Admiral had still been reading the initial report on the destruction of the Pentavar Secure Data Archive when the diktat pinged him, demanding answers immediately. Clestine had been tempted to reply that he could either provide information immediately or provide useful information. He hadn't said that. Instead, he had sent the expected and proper reply, that he was marshaling all available resources to investigate the incident. Then he contacted the chief archivist to start doing something actually useful. His armored aircraft, escorted by a squadron of gunships, landed on the roof of the archivist's headquarters as quietly as possible, meaning his aircraft was broadcasting an anonymous transponder signal and the flag insignia on the aircraft's tail was switched off. The last thing he needed was wild speculation about why the leader of the Hegemony military was visiting the important but dull archives department. Chief Archivist? He merely inclined his head as she greeted him in her very neat and tidy office. Admiral Clestine? She made the proper gesture, a slightly lower inclination of her head to indicate she understood his higher status. Her eyes darted to his pair of bodyguards, as if concerned they would track mud onto her floor, or touch something. Wait outside, he ordered the guards and slapped the button to slide the door closed. If the guards protested him being alone and vulnerable, he didn't hear it. Without waiting for an invitation, he took a seat.
This is... Forgive me,
she cleared her throat.
I am unaccustomed to speaking. It feels unnatural.
Our ancestors did not feel that way. But they also did not rule half the galaxy. He added with a shrug and wondered about that. Vocal speech had been supplanted by much faster, more efficient communication by brain implant, yet body language remained. Gestures could be suppressed. He often switched off certain facial muscles. It remained a fact that body language was still useful.
You have heard of the incident at Pentavar?
I have heard of the outrage, yes. Admiral, surely you can see that you must immediately increase security at the other archives. The cultural legacy of our people is at risk.
We are taking appropriate security measures. My intelligence division will be handling the investigation. We will, of course, share any pertinent information with you so you can also upgrade the internal security at your other archives.
There is no indication of how the humans accomplished the destruction of the archive? Their ship could not have fired a weapon from orbit. Any such weapon that could reach the archive chamber from orbit would have left an enormous crater.
We have several theories of how it could have been done. He lied, impatient to get to the purpose of his visit. For now, with you, I wish to explore why that archive was attacked.
Admiral, surely it is clear this was a strike against the very foundation of our collected knowledge, that
possibly it was not. Chief Archivist, you manage many such facilities, all acting as backups for the others. Destroying a single archive serves no purpose for the enemy.
Unless they continue their campaign of terror and destroy more archives to...
That is unlikely. The fleet has been deployed to guard the other sites. No enemy ship can get close enough to deploy whatever device was used at Pentavar.
Could that be the enemy's goal? Forcing you to spread your forces thin?
His composure slipped a tiny bit. It always irritated him when civilians offered him input on military matters. That is also unlikely. Archivist, he pressed forward before she could offer more unhelpful remarks. The question is, why did the enemy strike at Pentavar?
Well, that, she blinked, having not suppressed her own facial expressions, is a matter for your strategists, I suppose. Were Pentavar's defenses especially weak? My office relies on the military for protection of—
I can assure you there is no military reason why the humans chose to strike that particular target. I wish to understand whether there is another reason why Pentavar was selected, some way in which that archive was unique.
But, she sputtered. All the archives are backups for the others, as you said. To have an archive that is unique would defeat the purpose of—
In an ideal world, each archive would contain information identical to all the others. However, as I am sure you are painfully aware, he smiled, this world is far from ideal. Archives do not all receive updates at the same time. Therefore, at any time, the data stored in each of them is slightly different from each of the others.
That is true, she agreed with reluctance. It is a practical matter of latency, you see, and we work very hard to ensure the integrity of the overall—
Yes, yes. His veneer of patience was slipping. I need to know what data was stored at Pentavar that was not at any of the other archives. The shock drained color from her face.
Admiral, do you have any idea how much data is stored in an archive?
The exact figures have been provided to me. I appreciate this will be a monumental undertaking. And to make matters worse, I suspect there is no single piece of information that the humans wished to erase from our memories by destroying the Pentavar archive. It is more likely multiple bits of information that only when combined become something new, something important.
Oh, she shuddered. It is not possible for my department to—
The archive AIs are not merely passive custodians of their data. Are they? They analyze new received data packages to properly categorize each file to prevent duplicates and to resolve conflicts between data sets.
That is correct. The archive AIs must optimize file sizes to reduce the storage necessary.
My people tell me that data storage is not expensive.
Storage is not expensive. Ensuring that no information is lost and that requested information can be retrieved quickly and completely, that is expensive.
I have also been told that sometimes, even often, when an archive AI is tasked to retrieve information for a vaguely defined request, the AI can find connections between datasets that were previously unknown. The chief archivist shifted in her seat.
Such potential connections are flagged for regular review.
Regular meaning reviews are conducted only 3 times a year? She knew there was no response the Admiral would deem acceptable, so she merely stated the facts.
It is rare that any significant new information is discovered during a review.
But it does happen.
Yes.
Her body language reflected her discomfort. Until a review is imminent, each archive AI holds the potential connections it discovered? The file is not transmitted to your office ahead of time?
As I stated, it is rare that...
It is possible, then, that the Pentafar AI discovered a previously unknown new piece of vital information that is now lost to us?
That is possible. However, I do not see how our enemy could have known what data was unique to Pentavar.
Our enemy is being assisted by an elder AI, he reminded her. We must assume there is nothing the Skippy being doesn't know. Chief Archivist, I appreciate it seems extremely unlikely that the enemy somehow knew data recently received by Pentavar would be damaging to them. Until today, I would have said it was impossible for an archive to be destroyed by anything other than sustained bombardment by relativistic impactors, yet that impossibility has occurred. So we must attempt to recreate the Pentavar archive and see what connections can be discovered.
I do not see how we could ever...
The primary archive here. He pointed to the floor, for the primary archive was buried deep in their homeworld's mantle layer. Is theoretically capable of storing copies of the data held by all of the remote archives.
Theoretically. However, that...
Please begin the process of recreating the Pentavar archive with your resources here.
That is not...
The diktat? He paused. Will ensure anything you need is provided. That statement had the desired effect. She hesitated, clasping her hands on her lap, staring down at her hands. Archivists are not accustomed to confrontation. Their profession is designed to be dull, uncontroversial.
It is,
she looked up, not quite meeting Clestine's eyes.
Possible to do as you request, and I will direct my staff to begin preparations immediately.
Her eyelids fluttered momentarily. Clestine assumed she was sending instructions to her deputies.
What my department does not possess is anything close to the processing power for the analysis you propose.
That will not be a problem. He stood. The strategic analysis suite of defense AIs will be tasked to perform the analysis once your department has the data in the proper environment. Seeing the shock on her face was gratifying. Chapter 11
Joe!
Skippy startled me as I was running along the corridor through the star carrier's long spine. Damn, running like that was nostalgic for me. I hadn't done that since the original Flying Dutchman got remade into the Dutchman 2.0. The Rio Grande had two trams that moved people along the spine, and two larger trams for cargo, so people didn't make the long walk unless they chose to. For me, it was a great way to get exercise that did not involve running on another boring treadmill or elliptical trainer. Plus, I could be by myself, alone with my thoughts. That was the plan, anyway, except the stars also used the star carrier's spine as an opportunity for training runs, and I had to step out of the way when they went by. Still, it reminded me of the bad old days, when the galaxy had no idea that humanity had a functional starship, that humans were still alive on Earth. Life was simpler then, or so it seemed at the time. My job was simply to keep aliens from learning what was going on at our homeworld by preventing aliens from getting to Earth. Yeah, that had turned out to be not so simple. We had been playing for time anyway, with no long-term solution for survival. Eventually, radio transmissions from Earth would reach antennas in our stellar neighborhood, and hostile aliens would have become very curious about what happened to the White Wind Clan who had been overwhelmingly in control of our primitive homeworld. Anyway, all the shit we had gone through to keep our secret was rolling through my mind when Skippy interrupted my thoughts. As Avatar kept pace with me, a meter in front of my face. Skippy, I gasped. What's up? We need to change course now. The star carrier, I mean. That made me stomp fast. Change course? Like physically? Yes, but that's a good point. We also need a plan instead of the usual fumbling around. No, we don't. Good. Then, what? Of course we need a plan. What in the hell is wrong with... Skippy, We don't need to have a plan right now. We have time to think about it, rather than rushing to do the first thing we think of.
We do? How do you figure that?
The outsider apparently believes it needs a sentinel to do whatever it intends to do next. It can't get a sentinel, not for over a year. We have time to learn more about it and its objective and to block the next round of opportunities to wake up a sentinel.
That will not be as easy as you think, Dum-Dum. Let's talk about that later, okay?
Why the course change? I found something interesting in the archive.
What?
I don't want to say until I know for sure it's something important or not.
So you want me to order a task force to fly wherever based on a vague hunch you have about something you don't want to tell me?
Yes. Listen, Numbskull. Okay. This is too important to...
What?
Okay. I'll order a course change. I'm trusting you on this.
Wow. That is a surprise. I had a whole big argument planned about how I am so obviously intellectually superior to you or any other being in this galaxy. All of them combined, to be truthful, and how you should logically just do whatever I...
Skippy, when you get the answer you want, stop talking.
Gotcha.
So where are we going?
To, I had better cancel that reactor glitch. Give me just a minute and...
What reactor glitch?
The one that's now not going to happen, so don't worry about it.
You scheduled a reactor glitch?
It wasn't scheduled. It's not like I sent the reactor an invite to confirm it's available.
You... How long have we known each other?
Too long, he muttered.
Are you ever going to learn what is appropriate and what is not?
What do you think?
I asked you.
The Magic 8-Ball says signs point to no.
You ask me to trust you, then you do shit like this?
Hey, I had to stop the Rio Grande from jumping somehow, and I figured that convincing you to change course would take forever since your brain is so slow. So, I set up a minor reactor glitch which would not have hurt anyone. I mean, someone might have tripped and fell while running for an escape pod, but
I'm going to pretend this conversation never happened, and you are going to owe me.
Deal.
Owe you what?
I'll cash in that chip later.
Where are we going?
There are a couple possibilities. You can help me-
Hold that thought. I pulled out my phone and called the bridge.
This is Bishop. Halt the countdown.
Halt the jump countdown, aye.
The duty officer replied and didn't ask why, since I didn't need to provide a reason.
I did anyway.
We'll be changing course. Stand by for new coordinates.
Aye, sir.
All right, Skippy, show me our options.
You should go to your office. This could be complicated.
When I got to my office, Skippy wouldn't just tell me what he had found in the archive.
Can you guess, Joe?
Can I? Sure. I don't want to. I'm tired and I don't feel like screwing around.
Ugh, you are always tired. You should go to sickbay for a checkup. I wonder if something is wrong with you.
I have a long-term condition called being in the military, Skippy. The only known cure is a DD-214 and buying a boat so I can go fishing.
Could you at least try to guess?
Are my guesses ever anything that is worth your time?
No, you usually just babble increasingly incoherent nonsense until I beg you to shut up.
Okay, so why your moronic babbling amuses me?
I promise to amuse you later, okay?
Fine. We need to visit a Maxolk's relay station.
Visit like you want to get a selfie with the thing, or...
Ugh, no, knucklehead. I want to download messages.
You and the Maxolk's are secret pals now. You exchange recipes or something?
Of course not.
You can't hack into their relay stations. Not without one of those.
I know that. Can we just go there and save the blah 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 for never?
Going to an enemy relay station is a risk, especially after we just destroyed one of their archives.
I know that. You need to choose a relay station that minimizes that risk.
Does the entire task force have to go there or just a single ship?
It could be just a drop ship.
Yeah, those days are over. We'll go in the Connie. We're not in a rush to act against the outsider, but we do have to return to Earth.
Show me a chart of Maxolk's relay stations we can get to and back from with no more than a 3-day delay.
He showed me a chart. I selected a relay station with minimal traffic, but not so isolated that it was an obvious target for us. Back when I still had command of Valkyrie, one of my last missions was to investigate whether Skippy could hack into a kiddie relay station to defeat the new physical security measures the hegemony had implemented.
We found a pair of stealth battleships waiting for us, and the entire area was saturated with stealth mines. Valkyrie escaped without damage only because the Maxolks had overplayed their hand. There were so many mines, their mass affected the stellar wind in the area. Of course, the Magnificence of Skippy had detected the mines, otherwise our mighty battlecruiser would have been trapped or even destroyed. Skippy had tried hacking into a relay station because the kiddies had developed a new authentication scheme that had impressed even the beer can, and that scheme was being rolled out across their entire network of stations. We had control of a single Maxolk's relay station for years. We had captured the thing and set it up to function just like a genuine message and data transfer station, except that one also gave Skippy complete access to its entire database. The arrangement wasn't perfect. We had to set up the captive relay station along a route that didn't have heavy traffic, and we knew the kiddies would eventually discover their comms had been compromised when that station needed regularly scheduled maintenance. The station was almost an obsolete model at the time we found it, so my hope was we would get 6 months to a year of use from the thing before the Maxolks nuked it. Instead, their civil war caused the hegemony to defer maintenance, and for 11 months, the station was in rebel territory anyway. Finally, a maintenance crew that was probably bored out of their minds got the shock of their lives when the station's AI announced they had only a short time to get away before the station's self-destruct would be triggered. They literally ran for their lives. When their dropship was 1,500 kilometers away, an atomic compression warhead exploded, tearing the station apart and vaporizing any evidence. That warhead was a genuine Thorannon weapon that we had captured, so the kiddies assumed their ungrateful clients had been responsible for stealing their secrets. Normally, that shattering revelation would have sparked outrage and an escalating cycle of punishment attacks, resistance by the Thorannon, and more punishment. But after their bloody civil war, the hegemony couldn't afford to further weaken their reluctant coalition, and being hacked by a lowly client species was utterly humiliating. So the Maxolks did nothing. Covered up the incident, including remotely causing an overload of the maintenance ship's jump drive so that ship's crew couldn't tell anyone their secret. Anyway, we tried 3 times, and Skippy hadn't been able to hack into an upgraded relay station. So, we didn't have a regular, reliable source of intel on what sick shit the Maxolks were doing, and that was a problem. Wary of flying into another minefield, I chose carefully. The candidates had to be stations that saw frequent enough traffic that a minefield would risk killing their own ships, but not so much traffic that ships were likely to jump in right on top of our stupid heads. We would also approach the station carefully, with the Star Carrier at a safe distance, and our 3 battleships waiting and ready to jump in if needed. Selecting a target station took only 20 minutes, so I ordered the Rio Grande to turn around and go back through the last wormhole we came through. It was driving me crazy that Skippy wouldn't give me a hint what he was doing. "This is close enough," Skippy advised as the Constellation approached the target relay station. Without any need for a signal from me, Captain Marcadese ordered the pilot to hold us there, keeping pace with the relay station's slow orbit around a red dwarf star that was so distant we couldn't even see it without a telescope. "Sir," Marcadese whispered to me with a southern accent subtle enough that I was guessing where the guy had been raised. "Virginia? North Carolina? Not the Deep South. Would you care to share any advice?" "Your ship will be fine, Captain," I assured him. "The station might not survive Skippy's whatever he is going to do, but our shields will protect us at this distance if the station explodes." Previous attempts by Skippy to remotely hack upgraded relay stations had been detected by the Maxolks, and they had installed countermeasures. Extreme countermeasures. Like whenever he managed to get past the first layer of security, the stations exploded. The last 2 times he attempted a hack, he hadn't even gotten into the first layer. That was then, this was now. He had his mojo back. I hoped he wasn't just overconfident as usual, letting his ego push into trying to triumph over a system that had defeated him repeatedly in the past. Skippy is awesome. That hadn't changed. What changed was the senior species learned every time he screwed with them. It was Darwinian evolution in action. By screwing with data systems, he was pushing the Maxolks and Rindaloo to develop ever more sophisticated cybersecurity measures, which is why he shouldn't show his bag of tricks to the enemy unless it was necessary. Was it necessary? I didn't know, since he wouldn't talk to me about it. "TTA," I muttered under my breath. "General?" Marcadese inclined his head toward me.
I am trusting the awesomeness, I explained. So say we all, he replied without taking his eyes off the tactical display. Space around us was clear of threats. That could change in a heartbeat. Skippy, I prompted the beer can. His avatar wasn't exactly frozen, it just wasn't moving. That usually meant either he was intently focused on something or the opposite. He had absentmindedly forgotten what he was supposed to be doing. I am busy, he snapped, though the avatar still hadn't moved. You want this thing to go boom? Distracting me is how things go boom, knucklehead. Or they go boom because you start composing a Broadway musical when you're supposed to be disarming a warhead. Ugh, that happened one time. Once is enough. Joe, of course you went to Newark to be an amateur archaeologist because you just love to dig up the past. Let it go, will you? Give us an ETA. I don't know yet. This is very delicate work. I am anticipating a booby trap to bite me on the ass, to be honest. It could take a long time to... Huh. I don't like to hear, huh, Skippy, what's wrong?
Oh, nothing's wrong. Wow, this was easy.
I don't like easy either. I don't trust it. Easy is how you walk into a booby trap. No booby trap. We should probably talk about this in your office. Leaving the Constellation's crew hanging like that would be a dick move, but it was better than dumping a steaming pile on their heads. Rarely did Skippy deliver good news, so I was assuming whatever he had found was yet another crisis for me to deal with. Before I could say anything, Captain Marcades eased my mind. General, my office is just outside the bridge, he said, though of course I already knew his ship had the same basic internal layout as Valkyrie. Should we remain here, or can we jump away? Skippy, just a minute, and we're good. Jump any time you like. Pilot, Marcades tightened the lap belt. Jump option Bravo, engage. Option Bravo, I, engaging. The battlecruiser jumped. In my borrowed office, I didn't need to move anything off the desk. Marcades kept everything neat and tidy. There weren't even any rings on the desk from coffee cups, nor any crumbs. Clearly, it wasn't my office. Sitting carefully in the chair, rather than flopping down the way I usually did, I pressed the button to slide the door closed. And the button wasn't there. Huh. It was under the left side of the desk. Another reminder that I was not aboard my beloved Valkyrie. Okay, Skippy, give me the bad news. No bad news this time. Huh. How is that possible? It just is. I know, it surprised the hell out of me, too. Then why did you insist on talking about it in private? This news is so good, we probably want to keep it between us. Holy shit, what did you find? I'm in, Joe. I went in through a back door. In what, the relay station? Yes, let me talk instead of you making stupid guesses. You got it. In analyzing data from the Archive AI Core, I tried to find a way around the physical security protocols the Kitty implemented on their relay stations after they discovered what they thought was evidence the Theranin had taken control of a station. That is never not going to be hilarious. Not only did we have full access to their communications, they think one of their clients was responsible. Yeah, that was pretty sweet, I grinned. That Joe Bishop guy caused not one, but two civil wars, framed the Boss Farrakh for flying a ghost ship, and framed the Theranin for a cybersecurity breach. That guy is a jerk for sure, I had to agree. So how did you get in? At first, I tried to think of a way around the new security scheme, but I couldn't find anything practical. All the scenarios I ran through models were nothing but failure after failure. I was getting so desperate, I almost asked you for help. You realize most people would be insulted by a remark like that. I meant it as a compliment, Dum-Dum. Sometimes you see things I don't. Good. Then what you should say is, the things you can see are so freaking obvious any meat sack moron could do it. But somehow my ginormous brain can't get... Okay, that was not intended as an insult. Whatevs, you know what I mean. I do, and being a genius is no excuse for being an asshole. Isn't it, though? Just... I sighed. Skippy was never going to change, and I was never going to learn that arguing with him was a waste of time. Tell me how you got access to the relay station. After everything I tried failed over and over to defeat the current security scheme, I tried to think like you and look at the problem in a different way.
Except I actually understand the issue while you just and stick to the facts, please. The simple explanation is the programmers left a back door open.
No way.
Yes way. I know, I couldn't believe it either. This isn't the typical back door, like programmers use in testing, then plug the vulnerability. This is unintentional. The Maxalts have no idea their relay station infrastructure is so wide open. To me, I mean. I'm not just hacking in. I have to physically bridge the... Do you care to hear the technical details? Would I understand any of it?
Dude.
Then no. Thanks. I was not looking forward to dumbing it down enough for you to grasp the basic concept. What you need to know is I have full access to any Maxalt's relay station at any time. The process takes about 8 minutes in slow monkey time. If I go any faster, I won't be able to erase my tracks.
Skippy, this is fantastic.
I know an 8 minute window is too long to be hanging around a relay station that gets a lot of traffic, but don't apologize. You did an amazing thing. You should celebrate your accomplishment. Ah, compared to some of the stuff I've done, this is rather lame. But it impresses the monkeys. It impresses the monkey, me. And do not tell anyone about this. We have to keep it a secret. That's what I figured, he sighed. Once again, I do something awesome and nobody knows about it.
I know. I feel so much better now, thank you.
You downloaded data from the station. Did you find anything interesting?
I did, and I haven't looked at the data yet.
We already know the most important secrets of the Maxalts from the Archive AI Core. Although, the Archives only contain information the Hegemony deems vital enough to store long-term, and the Pentavar Archive was last updated before our encounter with the Outsider, so any recent data or messages won't be in the datasets we have. So the station might have something interesting.
You want me to review the entire download?
No, just anything from the past month or so.
Okay, fine, I'll do it.
Great.
You did close the back door of that station. Erase your tracks?
It's me, numbskull.
That's what I'm worried about. You erased all signs of you hacking in and also any sensor data of the constellation being there?
Yanking my phone from a pocket, I stood up abruptly.
Captain Marcadis, I called. Please jump us back to the relay station ASAP.
What could I say that wouldn't give away our newest secret?
I need Skippy to make a detailed sensor map of the station's transmitter array.
We can jump in 3 minutes, Marcadis answered.
I'll be right there.
Good cover story, Joe. Skippy gave me a thumbs up.
Try not to be so absent-minded in the future, okay?
Hey, it's been a while since I had access to a senior species relay station. I'm a bit rusty on protocol.
Then write it on a sticky note or something.
We stopped at another Maxalt's relay station for Skippy to confirm the back door could be opened at all such facilities. It could. At least until the kiddies discovered their mistake and slammed the door closed.
Not gonna happen anytime soon, Skippy chuckled when we were in the VIP office aboard the Rio Grande headed for home. For Earth, I mean.
That planet was no longer my home, but it was still my home world.
Yeah, it's confusing sometimes.
Come on, Skippy. Eventually a new team of software engineers will be reviewing code for an update and they will find the vulnerability.
No way, dude, he crowed.
I told you this is not a software backdoor. It's a hardware vulnerability.
It's ironic. It wasn't impossible for me to open the backdoor until the kiddies implemented the new multi-step physical authentication process. To roll out that protection scheme, they installed a bunch of new hardware that was tested thoroughly and works to provide a level of security that impresses even me. But what the arrogant kitties did not do was proper integration testing. I mean, I saw the potential to create a backdoor the moment I got access to the schematics of the new authentication hardware. What I do is basically hook up virtual jumper cables between sets of hardware that bypasses all of the security steps. To do that, I have to, how can I explain this? I warp space-time across a very small distance, so two pieces of hardware are connected when they are supposed to be completely isolated. This is something only I can do. Well, the spiders have glimpsed the basic concept of what I'm doing, although, of course, they have no idea how it really...
You're saying the kiddies will never find the back door because they have no idea such a thing is possible?
Correct.
Cool.
It's turbo cool, Joe.
No one says turbo anymore, Skippy.
Really?
Well, I'll ask my boys when we get back to Jaguar. They know all the current slang.
Huh. I guess I have been watching too much crappy 70s television lately.
You're doing 70s stuff now. The 70s were a freaking gold mine of crappy TV. Anywho, the back door is a great opportunity, but now we have a problem. I can't keep visiting relay stations, or the Maxolts will realize something funky is going on. I gave up on trying to hack their stations more than 4 years ago. This is not a problem. I have a cover story.
You do?
Yes. A solid cover story that you dreamed up since I told you about the back door. He cocked his head at me. That was only 26 hours ago. It didn't take me anywhere near that long. The bullshit about you creating a map of the station's transmitter, I made that up on the spot. Then I started thinking about it. We can keep full access to the back doors and screw with the kiddies at the same time. Oh, I am all about screwing with meat sacks. I thought you're all about cheating. I'm a multitasker, dum-dum. Right. So, here's what we do. The next time we visit a Maxolk's relay station, you load some malware into the transmitter array's stabilization motor controller. You can do that? I can do a lot of useless things. That is one of them. The motor controller has no access to any system inside the station, numbskull. It is completely isolated. All it does anyway is keep the transmitter pointed at the recipient ship. Right, but the kiddies won't know that. They'll see that Skippy the Magnificent is expending a lot of time and effort to do something that can't be any good for the hegemony. The kiddies will panic and send ships out to disable those motor controllers. That will inconvenience them, not us. Their AIs will also go crazy and waste a lot of time trying to understand how that motor controller is a vulnerability.
Oh, I like it. We won't actually be screwing with them, but the kitties will think we are, so they will actually be screwing with themselves. Hee-hee!
Exactly. This is genius. Yes, this is good. It's like a magic trick. Give them something to look at, and they won't look at what is really important. Uh-huh. They will consider themselves very clever to uncover that you have been screwing with transmitters. One question. I erased my tracks, so how will the kitties ever know I was there? Next time we visit one of their relay stations, screw with a motor controller like I said, except there will be a glitch that overloads the motor. It gets stuck in one position. The next ship to stop at that station will send a repair crew over, and they will discover the fake malware. Can you write the malware in a way that it's obvious only you could do it? It's me. Of course I can. Okay, then start working on that, please. Also, have you found anything interesting in the recent data you downloaded from the relay stations? Dude, I'm still reviewing data from the archive and examining all unexplained incidents from the past 6 months, plus designing malware to retrieve flight recorder data from top-tier client species. I am busy, dum-dum. I appreciate that. Make the recent relay station downloads a priority over the archive info. We don't care about political gossip. I will be happy to drop that task. Is that it? You got anything else for me? No, that's good for now. This is so unfair. All you do is dream up more shit for me to do, and I get stuck with all the work. You're the only being capable of doing the work. Oh, he sighed. Sometimes being awesome is such a curse. When will I get to do anything fun? Big part of my job is keeping him entertained. He was bored, and while an average idle mind is the devil's playground, an idle Skippy is potential disaster for the entire galaxy. You know, this task force is Dullsville. None of these ships have a karaoke night. He gasped. We need to fix that starting tomorrow night. Why not tonight? Well, I assume a tremendous talent like you needs time to prepare so you don't risk disappointing your fans. Well, that is a very good point. The filthy monkeys aboard these ships certainly need to rehearse. If you like, I could perform a duet with you on one of Lil Shithead's classics. Why do you hate people so much, Joe? No way will I subject these crews to your awful singing. I'll just stand behind you and snap my fingers to the beat. As if you could even do that, he muttered. With the beer can busy reviewing the recent relay station download for any additional interesting trivia, I took the opportunity to play pickup basketball in one of the Star Carrier's gyms. As the Rio Grande was a former Jirapta ship, the interior was much more spacious and comfortable than the good old Flying Dutchman had ever been. The cabins were larger than the size humans required. The ship had a galley for the crew and a separate galley to accommodate visiting crews of ships attached to the hardpoints. Because the Jirapta new crews loved an opportunity to get away from their ships, the Star Carrier had recreational facilities that took up 40% of the pressure vessel,
meaning the part of the ship that was set up to accommodate meat sacks. The UN Navy had redesigned the galleys, the workout spaces, and the sports compartments, all without having to modify docking bays or cargo bays. We did repurpose the 3 casino compartments that the ship had when it was transferred to the United Nations. Also, the lifts that ran up the docking pylons no longer offered departing crews one last opportunity to gamble away their wages. We later learned that in the Jarapta military, Star Carriers were auxiliary ships, not under control of the home fleet. A majority of the operational budget of Star Carriers comes from keeping part of the take from visiting crew gambling action. Damn, every time I thought the Beatles couldn't surprise me, they did it again. The old Dutchman didn't even have a proper gift shop. Anyway, I was going up for a 3-point jump shot when Skippy shouted into my earpiece, Joe! The ball flopped out of my hands. It was instantly taken by a Star operator, and I stumbled to sprawl on the court. People leapt over me, except one woman who paused to offer assistance to the old man who had lost his balance. I waved her off, getting to my feet and cupping a hand over one ear. Damn it, Skippy, can't you see that, Joe? We have a big fucking problem, and this can't wait. Shit, I slapped my forehead. What is this enormous problem? The game halted, everyone staring at me. They didn't know me well, but they knew my reputation. My body language signaled nothing good. Without orders from me, the ball was tossed into a bin at the bulkhead and people started trotting toward the doorway. I normally would wait until you get to your VIP office, but this can't wait. You asked me to review recent messages from the relay stations and I found something. There was an incident at a Maxalt research station known as Garshal Ven 6. A Star Carrier arrived without clearance. And, well, I'll skip over the details. That station is dedicated to analyzing Elder weapons and 2 weapons of the type they call Starbreakers were stolen. Oh my god. Joe, I recognize that Star Carrier. It's the same one that disappeared near our battle with the Outsider. I hate to tell you this, but the Outsider very likely now has 2 Elder weapons. Chapter 12. I have to admit, our newest enemy possesses Elder weapons was not on my bingo card of potential nightmares. Just like I had never considered that the same beings who frightened the elders into ascending were also responsible for attempting to wrestle Dogzilla away from Skippy's control. Oh, hell, I had not taken my own advice. When new people joined the Merry Band of Pirates, I told them the only thing we can expect is the unexpected. Instead, I had assumed we had time to prepare, to develop, consider, wargame, and implement an actual plan, rather than racing around the galaxy reacting to whatever fresh hell our enemy threw at us. My stupid assumption had been that clearly the Outsider needs a Sentinel to do whatever it wants to do, and it will not have an opportunity to capture a Sentinel for a long time. Also, by the time the next round of potential Sentinel activation events occur, we have a solid chance of blocking every single one of those opportunities. We had plenty of time, so what Joe Bishop really needed to do was work on his golf game. I can drive the ball, but I get the yips when I'm putting. Shit. The Rio Grande was racing toward Earth, and not even Skippy could make the clumsy space truck go any faster. When we were within a single jump of the backstop wormhole that led to Earth, Constellation and the 3 battleships would detach and proceed at best speed. The Connie would go through first. Skippy being aboard would make that ship's jump drive more accurate and recharge faster. I had to brief the captains of the battleships, the Star Carrier, Captain Marcades, and Colonel Chen. They wanted to know a lot more than I could tell them. In my VIP office, I was sitting, elbows on my knees, hands over my face, breathing deeply to calm my nerves. Why the fuck hadn't I considered the Outsider would have a backup plan, whatever it was? Or that after we prevented it from stealing 2 Sentinels, it would consider its options and go get the second most destructive force in the galaxy? Why not? Some jackass whose name rhymes with Schmo Bishop had shown it how powerful Elder weapons can be. Skippy, talk to me. Tell me that Bubba and Roscoe can protect Earth. If you want a nice comforting story, I can create a VeggieTales episode about how 2 good Sentinels defended Earth from the big bad Outsider. But that story would be absolute bullshit. Listen, numbskull, this is exactly why I advised your idiot leaders not to station Bubba close to Earth. A Sentinel can prevent the activation of an Elder weapon, but only if it is within range. Earth might be too far away from your sun for Bubba to effectively block a Starbreaker from seriously disrupting the local star. I just don't know. I hear you, but before this, the threats were all focused against Earth.
Yes, and Roscoe is still capable of dealing with most of those. Bubba should be deployed where it can be most effective. You know, I warned you that Sentinels are an imperfect defense system. They were designed to attack, not defend. They are mobile weapons platforms, and you are tying them to a static defense.
Yes, I remember the very nice memo you sent to Stradock about that. The staffers there much appreciated the 97,000-page addendum you included. The reason I remember that so clearly is the Admiral in charge of UN Strategy and Doctrine Command had sent a memo to me at Jaguar asking for advice on the best way to get Skippy to shut the fuck up. My reply had advised him to politely accept Skippy's input and send the document to the Stradock staff for review. There it would harmlessly die a slow and painful death of neglect, like most things that fall into the deadly embrace of a bureaucracy. That was then. What can we do now? Nothing. By the time your leader monkeys are done discussing what to do, it will be over. No, it won't. Task Force Black is still active, and I have authority to requisition any UN assets I deem necessary to deal with the immediate threat. When we get to Earth, if the sun and our homeworld are still there and where they're supposed to be, I'm directing you to order Bubba to move to wherever it can fully protect the sun. You will get in huge trouble for that. Maybe. DEFCOM can countermand my order, but by the time they get their shit together, Bubba will be in position where it's needed. Until you are forced to move it back. Skippy, I can't do anything. A Sentinel doesn't follow my instructions. If DEFCOM orders you to move Bubba back into Earth orbit, just don't do it. How can I refuse a direct order? Do you wear a uniform? No, I don't even get health care or a discount at the base exchange store. Wow, Joe, Undick is gonna be pissed at you. Let me deal with that. Everyone understood the Sentinels are under your control. That is nothing new. What about Roscoe? Is it actually able to do anything useful? Roscoe is good. You know I've had it on standby to stretch out its useful life. Bringing it up to active status will burn it out within, about 8 months. But during that time, yes, it will be able to defend your miserable homeworld well enough. Those Starbreaker weapons are not effective against rocky planets. They could play havoc with Earth's atmosphere, but Roscoe could block them. Joe, at the risk of giving our enemy more bad ideas, there is another vulnerability we have to consider.
Sure, why not? I'm giving you a volume discount on terrifying threats today. Hit me with it.
Starbreakers are not effective against rocky planets, but they are capable of doing awful things to gas giant planets, such as Jupiter and Saturn.
Oh, shit. We have to defend those planets also?
That would be optimal. How the fuck are we supposed to do that?
Wait, why would the Outsider attack Jupiter or Saturn?
Oh, shit. It could create another cloud?
No, Bubba could just push it away. A Starbreaker would not just create a single cloud. It could destabilize a gas giant, cause it to erupt violently and repeatedly.
Joe, Jupiter could eject enough mass to move that entire planet. The largest planet in your home star system could have its orbit changed. That would certainly disperse the asteroid belt, throwing thousands of big, heavy rocks at the inner planets. A gravitational feedback effect would eventually change Earth's orbit.
Oh, fantastic. You got any more good news for me?
This is a dangerous galaxy. Everything above your atmosphere can kill you. At least on the surface of Earth, you only have to worry about bears.
Skippy, I'm from Maine, remember? I know that moose are more dangerous than bears, and there are more moose around.
No way is a moose more dangerous than a bear, he snorted.
At the risk of him going off on a tangent, I smacked some knowledge on him. When I was, 8 years old, my father took me fishing in the North Woods. We were walking along a trail near a lake when I saw a black bear crashing through the underbrush toward us. My instinct was to panic and run. I dropped my fishing gear, but my father grabbed my shoulder before I could run. He saw the bear was not actually running at us. It wasn't running at anything. It was running away from the big mama moose behind him. That bear knew if mama moose caught him, she was gonna fuck him up. Stomped the bear about an inch tall and a mile wide.
Wow, what happened? I haven't heard this story before.
That's because my father made me swear not to tell my mom about it. The bear and moose ran past us. We didn't see where they went. By that time, my father decided to take another trail to the other side of the lake. Not because of the bear. Get it?
Like that matters right now. Joe, all this talk is good, but what happens if we get to Earth and the Outsider has already struck?
Then we, do what we can. Try to contain the damage. Assist however we can, if we can.
So we go on the defensive and let the Outsider retain the initiative? Do nothing that is actually useful to anyone while the greater threat is free to work toward its objective?
Skippy, I can't just abandon Earth if the situation there is bad. Yes, you can, and you should. You know that. There is nothing a single ship or a handful of ships could do to make a difference at Earth if your son gets hit by a Starbreaker.
It's not that easy. It won't be any kind of easy. That's why the job falls on your shoulders. If it was easy, any monkey could do it.
Thanks, but I'll tell you the most complicated part. We will have to fight the Outsider without Valkyrie. No way will your Navy complete that ship's refit if your homeworld is experiencing the level of trouble I expect. The Special Mission Group will need a new ride.
Like Constellation?
That's a fine ship. It's not Valkyrie, but it's our best option at the moment.
No Valkyrie, no Bilby, no pirates.
You think Reed would agree to transfer her command to the Constellation?
It won't be her decision. I have a more immediate issue to deal with. Captain Marcades is a solid officer. I don't need him signing on to be a pirate. I need to talk with Chen, see if she would be willing to take command of the Connie, at least in the short term.
You could do that. Relieve a captain?
That's what the two stars on my uniform are for.
I thought I was done with cowboy shit. I already stole a starship.
That worked out pretty well for you monkeys, as I remember. It was a shit show, and I'd like to avoid doing that again.
I'll talk with Chen, just as a contingency plan. Do not say anything to anyone about what we just discussed.
I wish I didn't have to talk about it with you.
Joe, you have to prepare yourself for the possibility that the best we can do for Earth won't make any difference to anyone.
Let's just get there, okay? Doom-scrolling awful scenarios in my head isn't useful.
We were racing toward Earth, where we might already be too late.